الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 15th day after the commencement of the month of Ramadan, the blessed month, 1444. Hijri in brackets. Today is the 7th, correct? Of April. 6th or 7th? Okay, 6th. In the month of April 2023. Questions?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Same all of us, inshallah.
My question is that the situation whereby a pious lady, unfortunately for her, married to a man who is an adulterer, how can she preserve her iman?
You see, in this very surah, Surah An-Nur, ayah number 26, Allah says الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين وطيب الليبات. You see, Allah says الخبيثات للخبيثين. Impious men are meant to be connected to the impious women and vice versa. وطيبون للطيبات. Pious men should be for the pious women. Now, it tells you that if you want to marry a man as a lady, number one, you have to make investigation. You have to make well research procedure to establish his fidelity. His fidelity and his morality. But by the time a lady marries an adulterer, not adulterated as you said, but adulterer or fornicator, uzubillah, or somebody believed to be morally bankrupt, then the issue is, number one, she has to do everything possible to preach to him, reconciliation to come in between, and draw his attention to the fact that this way you are trodden or trading is actually a bad way. Because maybe they have kids and issues and children. Now by the time they get separated, the issues are going to suffer. So my advice is for her, number one, before even contracting the marriage, you have to establish his fidelity, his correctness, his morality. Now that has been crossed. That border has been crossed now. They have been married and the man is believed to be morally bankrupt. Well, you have to, we call this damage management. You manage the damage, okay? What you should do, like I've said, is that preach to him, correct him. But if his infidelity, his immorality persists, in that case, you use the saying of Al-Imam Al-Akhdari, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ صُحُبَةُ فَاسِقٍ وَلَا مُجَالَسَتُهُ لِغَيْرِ ضَرُورَةٍ. To cohabit with a profligate is not allowed unless there is a compelling necessity. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullahu khairan.
Wa iyyakum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Oh, yeah, Shaykh. Describe of the nature and design of a good hijab according to Sunnah.
Hijab means a barricade. That is hijab. Literally. Barricading something is to put hijab, alright, but hijab from the technical viewpoint is the Islamically compliant attire used by a pious Muslim lady, alright, and the ulama have prescribed some condition for hijab. Allah says وَلَا يَبْنِذْنَتُ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلِيَذْرِبْنَ بِخُمْرِهِنَّ عَلَى جِيُوبِهِنَّ in chapter number 24, verse number 31. And similarly in chapter 33, verse number 51 sorry 59 Allah says يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرف لازم وكان الله غفور رحيم. O ye prophet, tell your wives, your daughters, and the wives of the believers, yudinina alayhinna min jilbab is what is next to her skin. Hijab or khimar is what covers it after. So tell your wives, your daughters, and the wives of the believers, they shall be well wrapped up. Now, the wrapping of has conditions. Number one, she should not use perfume. You know perfume? Yeah, at-tib. Don't do that. Or anything that has a good smell, okay? Good odor. Number two, the hijab should be from head to the toe. In fact, to go beyond it by some few level. Some to the point of even touching the ground. Alright? Number three, hijab should not be perforated. You know perforation with holes, perforation. They call it semi-through cloth. No. Any hijab that is perforated is satanic hijab. Not hijab al-Rahman or hijab al-Shaytan. A'udhu billah. Number four, the hijab should not be descriptive. To describe her flesh, you can see just her shape. This is satanism. Should not be descriptive, man. And number five, should not be fashionable. Just a fashion design with glittering all of it. Another one should not be tailored in the style of the kafirat. It's a clause used by the kafir. Even if you call it hijab, but it looks that of the kuffar. And Allah has forbidden Muslims to imitate the unbelievers. These are some of the conditions for hijab that women should not. And number seven, or is it number six, it should not look like the clothes of the opposite sex. Meaning, it shouldn't be like the clothes of the men. You cannot come with a trouser, okay? That kind of a bungalow trouser, sweeping, they're going to call it hijab. This is not. So these are some of the conditions that a Muslim believer should make sure she preserves. And you see, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Then he says, وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَ. Al-Qanita is such a lady that is very, very passionate in obeying Allah the Almighty. She is always in total imitation, subjugation to Allah the Almighty. So Al-Qanita cannot wear a hijab or a clothing that contravenes the conditions we have mentioned. May Allah get us all right. Now. Wa iyyakum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay. My parents at my... Do they have another right upon me? Yes?
If somebody is said to have demise, has died, well, of course, on the demise on your parent, really, you are turning a new page in obeying them. Allah says, وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. He didn't say, وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِذَا كَانَ حَيَّيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. No. يعني لفظ مطلق. It is an unfettered statement. As long as this man and this woman are your parent, you keep on doing إِحْسَانًا to them, whether they are alive or dead. Oh yeah. But how can I obey my parents, pray for them? وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Constantly. The friends of your parents are your parents. Another area of your goodness. If you know this man is a friend of my late daddy, then he is as good as your father at the same time. This mommy is the friend of my late mother, show goodness to her, because this reminds you of the connection between the two. Correct? Similarly, from time to time, you can pay a visit to the tomb, to the graves of your parent. The hadith that says every Friday one should go to the graves is incorrect. It's not sahih. It's a wrong hadith. But you have to make it a point of duty to pay visit to the grave of your parent if you know. But you know, at times the grave can disappear. You know that? Because the place is bushy, it has taken a long time. They are saying, man mata fata. Man mata fat. He that dies has escaped us. Man mat fat. Alright? And again, you can undertake umrah or hajj for your father. Yeah. For example, in the month of Ramadan, you can pay for umrah. You go and do it on behalf of your late father. By the time you say, Allahumma labbayka umratan an abi. That's how the intention should be. Allahumma labbayka umratan an ummi. Allah knows. You are to do the jobs automatically, but the road are credited to her account. Okay? Yeah. You can read the Quran al-Kareem from cover to cover, and the road goes to her credit card, to her credit account. There are many things you can do for the parent. So don't think that just because your parents are no longer alive, that makes the cessation, the end of you being in obedience. No, you continue obeying them until you too die one day. Because if somebody dies, the ways of getting roads have stopped. Except through how many ways? Three. Among these, waladun salih yad'u lahu. He has a pious son who keeps on praying for him. Let me tell you the story of Al-Imam Abdullah Al-Qawariri. Al-Qawariri, they said he was a contemporary of Imam Al-Bukhari. Al-Qawariri in his city, he had a neighbor, a friend, a neighbor, and the neighbor died. He was demised one day. Then Al-Imam Al-Qawariri had a dream of that guy, his neighbor, who is now late. He saw him in his grave. The grave was engulfed with darknesses. Darknesses. He said, "What? What happened?" He said, "Imam, I used to have a bad son. He wouldn't pray for me. Now I am dead. That is why you see this darkness is in me. My son is morally bankrupt. He wouldn't remember me. He wouldn't pray for me in dream." And fortunately, the Imam knew the man and knew the son. The son was believed to be drunkard. He will be tipsy. You know, tipsy under the influence of alcohol. Somebody is tipsy. A'udhu billah. So on waking up, according to the story, he said to him, "Ra'aytu fil qabri kaza wa kaza fi abi." It's just a story, but it gives you some message. And on our account, on hearing this, the boy began to cry and repented. He corrected his ways. He went back praying for the dead father. Soon, some few days, the same sheikh had a dream and the narrative has been changed. He saw the grave full of light. So this simply tells you it is part of your responsibility to make sure that your father, your mother, you know, you owe it a duty to them to pray for them and the like. May Allah get us a right. Another question? Now, you mean you do one right Right. R-I-T-E. Right. One segment of Umrah for both. I don't have this reason. I can't say this. Preferably, do it segmentedly, if you like it. Separately. But whom will you start with? The mother. Man abar umma. Thumma man umma. How many times? Three. On the fourth occasion, qal umma abu. So do it separately. Maybe, but I don't have the money now. Well, it's not compulsory anyway. If you have the chance, start by doing on behalf of the mother, but combining, I can't give you any satisfactory answer for that. So I don't want to be guessing, to just making conjecture. I'm not conjectural. Okay. So do it first for the mother. If you have the way with her later, you do for the father. Somebody ask. You have finished your own one? Okay, my own question. I said it during the house of version in the community. Somebody came to our house looking for my advice. He said, I want to marry a girl in your community. Please, will you advise me? Somebody said to me, is a question. They are shared. Somebody said to me, please, somebody comes to marry my daughter or my younger sister. What do you know about that man who wants to marry my daughter? And the man is in my community. And I know the man to be morally bankrupt. He's a bad man. Maybe he's drunkard. A'udhu billah, goes after women. In fact, the man is morally bankrupt. He is wayward. Now, I told him, no, don't give the hand of your daughter, because the man is bad. Now, here the question is, it backbiting? Am I backbiting against the man? What is your view? Tell me yes or no. Okay, why no? He gives a damaging recommendation or damaging report against the man. Because of his pedigree, his own negative behavior, he is morally bankrupt, attitudinally incapacitated. Now he told the man, don't give the hand of your daughter to him and marriage to him, because the man is XYZ. Now, question, is it backbiting? You say no. Dalil. No. Mimbab in Nasiha. That's good argument for saying no. You are saying no, it's not backbiting. We know backbiting is haram. Anything additional? Yes. Could you raise your So you agree that it's not backbiting? إذا أتاكم من ترون دينه وخلقه Take it easy. Give us the translation in English. Okay. This is just a question I am attempting to answer. There is hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, the hadith of Fatima bint Qais radiyallahu anha. This lady, her husband divorced her. He divorced her irrevocably. You know irrevocable? That is three times. It's irrevocable. If you divorce a lady for the first time, it is irrevocable. If it is three times, it becomes irrevocable. فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَجْنَ عَلِيمَ أَنْ يَتَرَاجَهَا إِنْ ظَنَّ إِنْ الْبَقَرَ. Now he divorced her three times. It's not revocable, it's irrevocable. Now the husband traveled beyond Medina. He sent the divorce from far away three times. Okay, notification. Now he sent to her some amount of grain for her upkeep. He sent somebody, say, take it to my ex-wife during her idda, her waiting period. She said, why you give me this so little? And the messenger told her, well, you don't have any right on him. You have not been divorced irrevocably. She said, no, we have to take the case to the Prophet to adjudicate. Now the issue was mentioned before them. The Prophet said, no, you don't have any right on him. You don't have anything. What he gave you is out of good attitude and behavior. Now, he told her, go and remain in the house of so and so until you have observed your final period. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَعَشْرًا. Now, no, that is concerning the iddah of date. The ayah says, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوا. That is periods, three consecutive periods. Now, during her waiting period, two men came to her. Don't forget her name, Fatima bint Qais. One of them was Mu'awiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. The second one, Abu Jahan. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Mu'awiyah came looking for her in marriage, and Abu Jahan, what is your view, what is your take on that? Now listen, in Abu Dawud, hadith is sahih, he said, Amma Mu'awiyah fasu'lukun wa amma Abu Jahan la yadaw asaw an atiqihi. Well, I will tell you, Mu'awiyah is odd-handed. You know, odd-handed is miser. He doesn't give. He's su'luk. Faqirun min al-fuqara. No money. Su'luk min al-sa'aliq. But Jaham, when he raises his own stick, he wouldn't put it down. Meaning, he beats a lot. So the point here, the Prophet ﷺ told her about the negative qualities of this man. In their absence, that is not ghibah. Just to tell you, to answer the guy, if you explain to somebody about the attitude of somebody, so as to be free from his own mistakes and danger, that is not ghibah. We know ghibah is haram. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَكْمَتِنَا فَكَرِيْتُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So now the point is, this is not a ghibah. One alim says, الْقَدْحُ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ. Criticism is not ghibah on six things. Al-qadhu laysa bi-ghibah. If you condemn somebody on 6 occasions, it's not regarded as ghibah. القدح ليس بغيبة في ستة متظلم ومعرف ومحذر ولمظهر فسق ومستفت ومن طلب الإعانة في إزالة منكر. غيبة, condemnation, character, denigration is not غيبة concerning six people. First, mutazalim, a complainant. Somebody complaining is not ghibah. Wallahi, ayyuha al-qadhi, XYZ has taken my money. You are attacking the man. It's like ghibah, but because you are complaining, laying complaint, that is not ghibah. That is number one. Number two, wa mu'arrifin. Somebody giving description. Oh, are you talking of that man who is limping, one-eyed man? That is not ghiba. Unless if your intention is to character assassinate him. In that case, innam al-amal ish binniyat. Number three, wa muhadhir. That is mahalli shahid. Muhadhir, somebody who warns you. I warn you. You want to contract commercial activity with expert, then he is a cheat. He is a dupe. I warn you. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. That is muhadhir. Then somebody who commits disobeying Allah flagrantly, he is not ashamed of drinking alcohol publicly, then this man you can condemn him because the cloth of honor has been removed from him. He doesn't have any honor any longer. That is walimuzhirin fiskun. And number five, wamustaftin, somebody asking a fatwa from a competent scholar. Ya Sheikh, well, I have a question. Brother Yusuf promised me to give me my money by end of the month. He didn't. What Sharia says? This is, you're looking for fatwa. It's not ghiba. Finally, if you seek people's advice, somebody tells you in that house there are people committing indecency with prostitute, dancing, moral irresponsibility, telling the Hizbah men. This sixth occasion is not ghiba. So this answers the question I have just brought to broaden the meaning. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa bihi tawfiq. Yes, now, fadda. Irfa sawta. It depends on the typology of this reality. If it is believed that genetical status of a boy, for example, is likely to be injurious after medical investigative research, it has been established that really, if you leave it, it is going to result in a danger, why wouldn't you remove it? It's not distortion in that case. Because of the simple rule in fiqh that says al-darar yuzal, harmful thing should be removed. It's a simple thing. They say dararun yuzalu wa adatun qad uhkimat wa kadha al-mashaqqa tajlibu al-taysira wa al-shakku la tarfa bi mutayaqqana wa akhli sunniya in qasad ta'u. So I am saying that is not distortion. If it is believed to be something harmful, if it has the potentiality of causing a disease, that can impact negatively on the matrimony. So the medical guru, the medical gladiator should intervene to make sure that it is reversed. But distortion is when somebody feels his nose does not attract him. You go for nasal surgery. That is distortion. That he is his color is not attractive. You want to be like a white man. He goes for plastic surgery. That is distortion. Or the tribal mark you give children. He is XYZ. You give him mark. That is distortion. But this knowledge, as medical technology or science has proved, yeah, it has the potentiality to reverse it. That cannot be said to be distortion, because you are trying to erase a reality that can impact negatively in the spousal or on the genetical line. So you wouldn't say, well, Allah has created it like this, it's okay. His father was a madman, allow that madness to flood the genetics. You can't talk like this. You see, there is not any disease without remedy and cure to it. Those who know have known, those who don't, they don't know. Okay? So it's not distortion, barakallahu fiqh. So let's take our first ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون
ولولا
فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم.
This is ayah or verse number 19. Allah, the Exalted, says, إن الذين يحبون أن تشيء الفاحشة. Those who want abomination to be spread, تشيء, okay? To be sprayed. في الذين آمنوا, in the company of those who believe. There are some people who are interested in spreading immorality, in spreading moral recalcitrant, spreading disobeying Allah. Then Allah says, those who have interest in making immorality spread in the company of the believers, then lahum adhabun alim, for them shall be a painful chastisement. Lahum, for them, adhabun shall be a punishment, a chastisement, alim. See, the punishment has not been described. Alim, painful, very, very severe. Not only there, fit dunya, right here, in this life, wal akhirah, and the next life beyond. So it tells you, you see now, you know what's happening? In the month of Ramadan, European League's football club will be organizing match in the month of Ramadan. I don't know, did you notice this? To be distracting the Muslim Ummah from their Ramadanic engagement. You pity young people. You see the scream in the month of Ramadan. Hey, because of football. Satan has won. Istawadha alayhim ash-shaytan. You remember last World Cup in Russia, last 4 years, was in the month of Ramadan. In Ramadan, a lot of masajid empty. ولا يزالون يقاتلونكم حتى يردوكم عن دينكم إن استطاعوا. They will stop at nothing in fighting you. They will leave no stone unturned in fighting you until they turn you away from your religion. Now in the month of Ramadan,
they organize this match. Real Madrid, Man United, and there's a lot of people. People are going to Tarawih, and young women are jam-packed at a viewing center. La ilaha illallah. So be careful. And there are the, even though now there is no light, they will buy fuel with their genset to make sure electricity does not break. There is flow because of the play to be flowing. Satan is very laughing at them. Satan has succeeded. It has been said in every night of Ramadan, Allah will say, this sect of Muslims are free from fire. Completely. This one, until Ramadan comes to an end, you miskin are in that place, Satan overtakes you. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيءَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. والله يعلم أنتم. What? Allah knows, whereas you know not. Next ayah. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم. Had it not, if not for, were it not for Allah's fadl. What is Allah's fadl? His bounties. Allah's bounties are what? Limitless. It's because of Allah's fadl, you are alive, you can breathe, you can eat, you can smell, you can feel, alright? So if not for Allah's bounties on you, wa rahmatu and His mercy, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is Ra'uf, is oft returning. Ra'uf, oft returning, Rahim, merciful. You see, there is a جواب الشرع or جواب التفريد. ولولا فضل عليكم ورحمتهم لوقع بكم كذا فكان محذوفا. It is just omitted, but you know it. And Allah is Ra'uf, Allah is always after coming, and Rahim, Allah is merciful. I think we'll stop here because we have taken a long time explaining those questions, and fortunately it's time. So how many minutes remaining? 5 minutes, because we are going to start afresh on Hizb. Ya alladhina amanu la tattabi'u khutwat. I will explain to you khutwat shaitan. There are about 7. We're going to talk about it, the traps of Satan tomorrow, Allah willing. It's part of Satan's khutwa, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now you can complete the remaining 5 minutes through a Q&A session. We can entertain 2 or 3 questions within the remaining 5 minutes. Yeah. Yes, fadl. Wa alaykum salam. Speak louder, my brother. I'm afraid, I hope I understand you well. My grasp of your question is somebody is believed to be morally on the low side, not morally on the high side, correct? But he repents and goes back. He's fluctuating. Today is good, tomorrow is bad. خلطوا أملا خلوا آخر سيئة. Okay.
Now he comes to you asking you to intervene in making it easy for him to marry your wife, your daughter or your younger sister, whatever. Now what do I do? Should I cover him and say, oh, the man is perfectly good, 100% good? Or should I say he's 100% stupid? Or he's in between? How can I take in between? Give me morality, I take it. If it's immorality, I throw it to the garbage. Now, my brother, the best for you is to speak the truth. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. Quran 9:119. So the base is to know his attitude, to scrutinize his behavior, and report correctly. But before them, try to preach to the man. Please, yeah, my brother, Zaid, Bakr, Muhammad, whoever, why can't you behave yourself? We don't see you even in the prayer, congregation prayer. We don't see you fasting, for example. But if his good, his bad behavior is such a serious one that it's not tolerable, you can't cover him. But if he has committed bad things, say, wallahi, it pains me, I will never go back again to him. In that case, tell them the man is good. Because a tawbah itself is a sign of a good man. Correct? If he is sincere, Allah knows it. It is not your own duty to peep into his own heart. That belongs to the Almighty. So I mean, you just take him by his words. So what you should do is, as far as I know, Brother Zaid is a good man, but Allah knows best. You are covered. You are covered. If he proved to be good, that is what I know. If he act contrary, I don't know that one. You are okay. Next question. How many minutes? Oh, it's gone? Okay, I'll give you assignment. Are you ready? Tomorrow you bring your answer. Assignment number one, take your pen. We believe in sharing knowledge. Assignment number one. In an Islamic classical commercial transaction, there are six conditions. What are those six conditions? In the Islamic classical, get my word, class, this qualification, classical, this is classical commercial transaction, there are six conditions. إن في البيوع الإسلامية على أصالة البيوع شروطا ستة وما هي. What are those six conditions that make commercial transaction acceptable? I expect you to give answer to the congregation tomorrow by Allah's grace. You have it written and your proof and your sources. Where do you get your answer? This is concerning fiqh. The other question is concerning seerah, tariq. Something happened. There was a kafir who sat in Kaaba. His son was among those captured as POW, prisoners of war. So this kafir was very sad. He told his friend, my friend, believe you me, if not because of a lot of debt on me, and I don't want to die and leave my
children, nobody killed. I would have gone to Medina and killed Muhammad. How? His friend told him, oh, is it because of money? I'm going to pay. If you die, I'm going to be the father of your children. Please go, I too want to be killed. And that kafir took his sword, you know sword, a sword. He poisoned it repeatedly for 3 days with dangerous poison. Out, he went to Medina. His friend in Mecca is called Safwan ibn Umayyah. But the man going to do this dastardly act went to Medina. He was fury consumed, anger consumed. He was forced by what? By fury. On reaching Medina, Umar saw him, said, ah, this bad man here. Then Umar quickly entered the masjid, said, hey, take your position, run the Prophet. You, that man has arrived. The question is, who is that man? What is his name? I don't know if it is clear. No, don't scratch your head now. Tomorrow, go and check your books. Give me answer. Only two questions. One, this with fiqh, the commercial law. The second one deals with history and seerah. May Allah make it easy to get the answer tomorrow. You may win my book if at all you can answer me tomorrow. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.